Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back. What better way to celebrate a Monday night in the state of Wisconsin where it is raining, just kind of yucky out, than talking about movies and TV and the shows we love and watch, especially when you're talking to Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. Check out his stuff at Rob. Hold on. I had it here just a second ago, Rob. Not that, robthomas.substack.com. Great stuff. And I forgot, Rob, your point about Roadhouse. He just wrote a really funny article about 23 gloriously dumb things about the new Roadhouse movie. That's called The Roadhouse. I mean.
Yeah, in the original, it's called The Double Deuce.
Yeah.
Right? The bar and the Roadhouse. And in this movie, the name of the Roadhouse is The Roadhouse. Like, that's how dumb this movie is. Right. And at one point, like, the owner says it's a joke. But, like,
yeah.
There's no joke, is there? Like,
no.
I didn't. Okay.
Silly.
And then he sleeps on a boat, and the name of the boat is The Boat. Like, I just feel like it almost like, did AI write this movie?
And wow.
I don't know. Or it's like so. It's like Zen almost, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, and there's such a weird plot line too, that her dad was the sheriff and he was a bad guy. Oh no, but they kidnapped her and then he's a good guy. And then they're on the boat and it's like, oh no, he's a bad guy again. It's so discombobulated.
No, it seemed like every 5 minutes they came up with a new plot. Yeah. To keep it going.
And it's so dumb. I keep going back to it. So I apologize. have you seen, or what have you heard about Three Body Problem?
Oh gosh, I want to watch it. It looks challenging. I have the book, but I have not read it because it's like a big, dense science fiction book.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's a Chinese writer, and I think in the Netflix show, it's made by the showrunners of Game of Thrones. They've transported to London, has international cast. Okay. I'm interested in it. It's like an alien invasion, but kind of a different take on it. I think, like, they know the aliens are coming, and I shouldn't probably say it without knowing, but it's like, it's a very different take on the alien invasion idea, but it's one I want to start, but like I feel like it's going to be a commitment, you know.
Yeah, I started it last night. I watched the first episode and I have no more answers than what you just said. I'm kind of like, yeah, and I don't know what made me. It was like 1 a.m. when I started it. It's kind of like one of those things where you're just in a mode where you're like, I'm going to the gym, and you go, even though you don't think about it. And that's how I was when I watched this film or this show. And like, it's got some cool elements, but I didn't read the books. I'm not typically a sci-fi guy, but I'll give it a couple more episodes and
okay.
I'll take one for the team. But you saw Arthur the King, the Mark Wahlberg film, which was kind of a disappointment at the box office. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. I love the dog. So it's based on a true story about this guy who Mark Wahlberg plays, who's like an adventure racer. So like he does this race that's like 400 miles across the Dominican Republic. They run, they kayak, they zip line, they bike. And along the way, and this is the true story, I guess, they met this kind of scruffy stray dog who just kind of stuck with them and through the whole thing. And the movie definitely, you know, Hollywoods it up with the dog, like, saving them from running off a cliff and things like that.
Right.
But I was enjoying, you know, the race part because I think they shot a lot of it. I'm not sure where, but definitely in the kind of remote areas of the jungle of either Central or South America, and the dog is really cute and, you know, that sort of thing. And Wahlberg is fine. But then like the whole last half hour of the movie, they're sort of like, oh, I know the dog's really sick. I don't know if he's going to make it. And I don't spoil movies, but the dog lives.
Oh, okay, really?
The dog lives. Don't worry. But
that's weird in a PG rated movie that the dog would hang in there.
Well, yeah, right. He's not Old Yeller. He's not Marley. Yeah,
that's true.
He's good.
That's true.
So, you know, it was fine. I mean, it was, I wouldn't recommend it really, but, the dog is very cute.
I think it's really funny that you mentioned the dog like five times when you were talking about that movie and you said, you said, well, the dog was really good. No one has ever seen a Hollywood movie with a dog in it and said, well, the dog sucked. That dog cannot act.
Well, you know, you put him next to Mark Wahlberg, you know, the dog look pretty good by comparison, right?
Boy, I'd love to, at some point, Rob, hear what you have to say about the film Knox Goes Away, the Michael Keaton film. I did see it over the weekend, and I liked it, but I'd love to hear what an actual entertainment reporter thinks about it. And what else before we let you go? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, Michael Keaton directed that, right, as well as stars in it?
He directed it and produced it, and he does star in it, and I've always been a fan. You know, I don't love everything he does, but there's just something about him that's fun to watch.
Just as a side note, what do you think about a new Beetlejuice movie? Did you see that trailer?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my again. Maybe it's sci-fi or Tim Burton. I have trouble getting motivated. What about you? Is that your cup of tea?
I mean, I love the first Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton is so funny in it.
Yeah,
that I have high hopes, but I'm worried it's going to be like the Ghostbusters movies, where it's like they're going to turn into like a family-friendly adventure instead of a weird sort of semi-weird comedy that it was. So.
Hey, you know what I did watch over the weekend was Zombieland. I think you were the one telling me about Zombieland. I had never seen it.
And?
What a fun movie. Yeah. And Bill Murray
made me
think about it. It's so funny.
It's great. And speaking of Ghostbusters, like the funniest Bill Murray's been in 20 years, I say. Like that is the best celebrity cameo maybe ever. Yeah. That's a really funny movie.
I loved it. Yeah. Thank you for the suggestion. Anything you can recommend before we let you get out of here?
There's one opening Friday, Liam Neeson has a movie like every month now. But the one opening Friday is actually pretty good. It's called In the Land of Saints and Sinners. I think part of the reason it's good is that it's set in Ireland. It's set during the war there in the 70s, and he plays an IRA assassin. More of a drama than a thriller. I think it's playing pretty wide. And it's like, if you just see like, oh, Liam Neeson's in every movie, I'm just going to skip it. This one's actually worth a look. It's got a good cast. And he's actually throwing himself into it. He's trying.
He's a good actor. Look, every movie he makes, they threaten his family and he kills everybody. But like, he's a really good actor. In fact, I was talking to my dad. My dad watched Michael Collins right before St. Patrick's Day because I had been recommending it to him. I loved him in that. Like, the guy is a solid actor when he's in the right role.
He's never bad, but like, you can't make 12 movies a year and, you know, turning an Oscar winning performance every time. Yeah.
And bat a thousand. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Rob, thank you so much, buddy. Always fun catching up.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great night.
You too.
That is Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. And again, check out Rob's notthatrobthomas.substack.com. He writes really just very enjoyable stuff about local films and national films, and just really enjoy his take on things. So, all right, today is, as I've mentioned several times throughout the course of the show, the anniversary of the film The Outsiders, which dropped in 1983. And our question tonight is, do you identify more with the Greasers or the Socias? And, we got Jason on the stream. I just saw this. Hello, how's it going? It's going great, Jason. Great to have you with us tonight. Jason, do you consider yourself a Greaser or a Soch? I rarely just ask one listener point blank because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But Jason's a pretty good guy, and he shows up every once in a while on the stream, so I'm going to ask him. From the 920, Steve, Conrad's dad checking in. I would say growing up, I was 50% Greaser and 50% Soch. I always got along with both sides, trying to live true to the phrase, why can't we all just get along? That is a great text, Steve. Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. That is an interesting text because I remember being in high school and not really being entrenched in either side. I mean, I went to high school in Marinette, Wisconsin, a Catholic school. It wasn't like we were all that different, but you know, I had friends who were burnouts and I had friends who were more preppy. I guess I probably was closer to the preppy thing, but I don't know. You don't really feel totally at home either way. And you don't want to commit to one side because you don't want the other side to think you're that different than them, maybe. Maybe that's what Steve's trying to say. I don't know. I don't want to paraphrase for your dad, Conrad, but I guess I just did. From the 414, Tom from New Berlin says South America.
Talking about the location for Nick Cage's movie.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Conrad. Yeah. The if you have not seen The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, I highly recommend it. It's Nicolas Cage at his best. Very funny. And as Tom mentions, it was shot in South America. And Pedro Pascal is great in it as well. The 920, all about the Johnny. Okay. This is interesting. 920, if you're still with us, is it Johnny Cake or Johnny Cade? Because in the book, they referred to Ralph Macchio's character as Johnny Cake. But I hear a lot of people say Johnny Cade. So the 920 says all about Johnny Cade and the Greasers. That's a probably a typo. And the Greasers. So 920 identifies with the Greasers. I can dig it. Yeah. If I had to choose, I think I would identify with the Greasers. I would actually use grease and start smoking. That's seemed like at least in the movie, it seemed like a cooler lifestyle. We have a couple clips. Matt Damon was my favorite character too. Dallas Winston. Do we have time?
We don't.
We're cutting it close. Yeah. Okay. We'll do that when we come back. But the other films that dropped today, and I have no clips and I'm ashamed of myself. The Godfather in 1972, Hunger Games in 2012. These are actually on Sunday. They dropped yesterday. And The Office in 2005. So tomorrow night we'll have a little bit of Office talk. We'll talk Godfather. Today, birthdays. We got some big ones. Elton John, an absolute legend, is 77. Aretha Franklin died in 2018. Also a legend. Sarah Jessica Parker. No, she's a legend. She's a fine actress in her own right. Conrad, coming up next, folks, we're going to have a couple scenes. Matt Dillon from The Outsiders. He's going to do it for Johnny. And a really funny scene from Election. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dude from England would sing about Philadelphia freedom. I guess it means American freedom because the Liberty Bell is there. But I love that song. It's a great song. So Elton John turns 77 today. 77? Did I get that right? He is. Yeah, 77. He seems like he should be older. I mean, he seemed old when I was a kid in the 70s listening to him. I bet he's like 87. Lying about his age. So we're talking about The Outsiders tonight. My favorite character is Dallas Winston, played by Matt Dillon. And I don't know. He actually inadvertently provided some comedic relief throughout the film. We just got another text too from the 715 says, I would say that I wish I was an outsider, but I'm probably more of a soche. That's from Joe in the 715. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, Joe. And just because you're a soche doesn't mean you have to be a jerk or not have a little anti-establishment. You could be the soche that reaches out to the greasers. It gets them to try to stop smoking. Yeah, that wouldn't be too annoying. That's a good text. So we have a couple clips here. Did we put them into one clip, Conrad, or are they separate?
They're separate.
Okay, they're separate. So these are... The first one is Matt Dillon just being Dally in the movie. It's great. Go ahead.
Jimmy, I feel so good.
Hey, I see you guys playing my grads, huh?
No.
What are you doing here?
God's
give me those cards, will you?
Watch come to my house.
Guys, ever play 52 pickup?
Yeah.
What? Hey, don't get wise. I don't like little kids. I don't like them. I just...
Get out of here!
I got you!
Probably should have set that up a little first. Some kids are playing, and he takes their playing cards, and he says, you ever play 52 pickup? And Gloria is playing, and that has an awesome song. In every movie I see, I love Gloria. And Matt Dillon plays 52 pickup. He throws the cards, and then he and C. Thomas Howell and Ralph Macchio chase these little kids. All right. This is towards the end of the movie. Johnny Cake has been burned severely in the church fire, and Matt Dillon is in the hospital. Dallas Winston is in the hospital, I should say, being Dallas Winston, mistreating the nurses, and hot for revenge.
If you ever pull a stunt like that again, I'm going to kill you.
What's happened to your gown?
I threw it away.
I'm going to be so
get
glad
out.
When
just
you're
get out. Here. You're making make my stomach thing. Sick. You got a cigarette, Paul? Thanks. How is he? How's Johnny doing, man? Thank you. You know, we got to win that fight tonight. We got to get in with those socials. Let's do it for Johnny, man. We'll do it for Johnny.
There's something like so over the top about his performance in those scenes, but it works. I've never been able to. I love the way he laughs. He's got like that fun stoner laugh. So we missed this too. Last week it was Reese Witherspoon's birthday. One of my favorite movies of all time is Election by Alexander Payne, who was nominated for Best Oscar in this year's festivities for The Holdovers. He also made Sideways, a film called Citizen Ruth, a film called Nebraska. They're all just slice of life, mostly Midwestern-based films, except Sideways. But Election, they're making a sequel, and Matthew Broderick plays a history teacher at a Midwest high school, having some issues with his wife. And Reese Witherspoon is so brilliant in this film. She plays Tracy Flick. And I think the sequel is called, I think it has her name in it. You Gotta Stop Tracy Flick or something like that. Matthew Broderick cannot stand her. I love the idea that he's this teacher and an adult, but he's so petty and hates this girl. And she's so great. She plays the role so well. Like, as much as she's annoying, you also identify with her and you kind of root for her and you see why she's the way she is. So here's a clip from Election.
Oh, hi, Tracy.
Who put you up to this?
What do you mean?
You just woke up this morning and suddenly decided to run for president?
No. I just thought that,
Thought what?
Well, I was talking to Mr. McAllister about my leg and how I still want to do something for the school.
So Mr. McAllister asked you to run?
Well... I talked to him and everything, but he just said that he thought it would be a good idea and how there's all different kinds of fruits and, it's nothing against you, Tracy. I mean, you're the best. I just thought,
Okay. You're on, Mr. Popular.
You might think it upset me that Paul Metzler had decided to run against me, but nothing could be further from the truth. He was no competition for me. It was like apples and oranges. I had to work a little harder, that's all. You see, I believe in the voters. They understand that elections aren't just popularity contests. They know this country was built by people just like me, who work very hard and don't have everything handed to them on a silver spoon. So Not like some rich kids who everybody likes because their fathers own Metzler Cement and give them trucks on their 16th birthday and throw them big parties all the time. No, they don't ever have to work for anything. They think they can just all of a sudden one day out of the blue waltz right in with no qualifications whatsoever and try to take away what other people have worked for very, very hard their entire lives. No, didn't bother me at all.
That's Reese Witherspoon. And it's so great. Matthew Broderick talks like the big athlete on campus who tore up his knee in the running against her in the student election. And it makes you, it's so pathetic. Like Matthew Broderick, in some ways you relate with him because she's so unlikable, but you also still kind of root for her. I mean, a teacher is scheming against her to win a student election in a high school. It's just funny all the way around. If you have not seen Election, I highly recommend it. Was that the only clip we had from Election, Conrad?
Yeah, from okay. Election. Yeah, that was the only one.
Gotcha. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, no.
The Chris Klein, who plays the kind of the dumb jock, is really funny. He was also in American Pie. He's really funny in this film.
Yeah, that's where I recognized him from was American Pie.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like all the characters. The girl that plays his sister, who hates Tracy Flick as well, she's saying her prayers at night. And while she's praying, calls Tracy Flick the worst names ever while she's supposedly talking to God. The movie has some really laugh out loud funny moments. So highly recommend it. So remember the 80s? And even if you weren't alive in the 80s, do you remember some of the shows from the 80s? Night Court, Cheers, Family Ties, Three is Company, which actually started in the 70s but ran into the 80s with many spinoffs. Well, we're going to talk about that coming up next. You can also let us know, get in on the fun. Our question of the night, do you identify more with the greasers or the Socias from The Outsiders? Let us know. 80s movie talk coming up next. 80s TV Talk coming up next with Civic Media newsman Stuart J. Waddles on Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Fixing up to go somewhere.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Peach Wabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Barreling through a Monday edition of Nightlight. And, I mean, what a great way to close the show here. We talked about movies with Rob Thomas, a little bit of TV. We are going to close the show tonight with some 80s sitcom talk with one of my favorite people in the news racket. It's not a racket, the news game. Stuart J. Waddles from Civic Media, who covers Southeast Wisconsin, joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Stuart.
Good evening, Pete. How you doing, bud?
Doing great, man. Hey, first of all, let me just say your coverage for the State of the Union speech here at Civic Media was just outstanding.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
You and Maggie just, it was like, it was outstanding. Great job.
It was the first time for me. I've watched that thing all my life. So it was kind of applying what I saw Peter Jennings do back in the day.
So. Well, whatever you did, keep it up. It was excellent. So what's going on in Southeast Wisconsin that we need to know about?
What's not going on? There's a whole bunch going on, and I'm sure the local Chamber of Commerce would like me to tell you all about it.
Fire away.
So here's the deal. In Racine, so when I was growing up, there was this big event right by the lake. There's this big community center, civic arena area near the lake, and Salmonorama was a big deal. So there's a fishing
title.
Competition out on the water, and then live music, kids' activities, food, beer, and all that stuff, and it went away. So 15, 20 years later, there's a group now bringing it back to what it used to be. So I think WRJN will be involved in some capacity. So we're looking forward to that. That's interesting.
Absolutely. How long was it gone?
15 years, maybe even a little bit more than that. But the fishing competition has maintained. That's kind of the strange part about it. So they've been fishing for Salmonorama, and we've been talking about the results, but the live music that, again, a lot of people grew up with, you know, you went with your parents down by the lake and you smelled the fish, and there was a kid's fish pond, and they had cheese curds, and again, some of that nostalgia, I think, is bringing that that big event coming back.
That sounds really cool. Have you ever seen, I'm going to go off on a tangent here for a second, sturgeon? Do you see when they come in and lay their eggs and spawn and all that stuff? You ever seen a sturgeon?
On the TV, I haven't seen it live in real life.
A few years ago, somebody took me down to the Peshtigo River up near where I live, and I saw one that had to be 14 feet. They were incredible. They're the ugliest fish you've ever seen, but the fact that you're looking at a prehistoric fish, and there was walleye everywhere and a lot of sturgeon and they're coexisting peacefully, but really fascinating stuff. So there's my Cliff Clavin.
Great.
Speaking of 80s. TV shows.
It's my Cliff. You're Clavin. In my head. It's like, yeah, good. Thanks, Cliff.
All right.
Hey, Sammy, pour another one. Hey, moving on down here.
You know the beer here, Sam. So we started talking last night in our exchange about Three is Company. We were kind of laughing about all the.
I don't even know how we got there.
I'd have to look back, and maybe I will during the break. But however we got there, it was beautiful.
I've been watching Three's Company a lot.
You have been.
Well, it's on one of those channels, like, yeah. You know, like through Pluto TV or Plex. So
yes.
It's all Three's Company all the time. So you can pop on there and you get a nice run of shows.
So.
And I guess Norman Fell was top of mind.
Yeah, that's what it was. You sent me a picture of Norman Fell, which was unsettling. Yeah. But I loved it. And so for those of you that don't know, and I can't imagine there are people out there that don't know about Three's Company, it started, Stuart, in 1977. It's not technically an 80s show, although it ran into the 80s.
No, but the syndication is what made that show a cultural icon.
Definitely.
Every night, Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock, it's Three's Company.
Definitely. And you know, John Ritter played Jack Tripper, a guy who got a great deal on rent and had to move in with two women. And the landlord, even in Southern California in Santa Monica, disapproved of this. So Ritter, Jack Tripper, had to pretend he was gay. So there's tons of gay jokes throughout the show. And Jack secretly is always hitting on the girls who just roll their eyes and he never gets anywhere with them. But I would say I love Jack Tripper when I was younger. He's a great actor. John Ritter is phenomenal. But Norman Fell, probably my favorite part of the whole show. As the landlord.
As I was ruminating about Three's Company today in advance of our conversation, I got to thinking about this. Growing up, I was a Furley kid. I mean, Ralph Furley, he had the extra emotion. He it was funny. You know, I remember him from the incredible Mr. Lippitt. He was right. On Andy Griffith. So I was a Furley kid coming up, but then you get older and you're like, damn, it's Stanley Roper for me.
Isn't that funny?
Somebody put together a compilation of 2 minutes of him deadpanning, like doing the lines with his wife, and then he looks at the camera and does the just hilarious.
Yeah, he broke the fourth wall all the time. And I think it's funny because pound for pound, I'll take Don Knotts over Norman Fell in terms of overall career, whatever. But in that role. You know, Furley kind of played like a swinger, right? Like Don Knotts was kind of like the swinger on that show.
Who still had a problem with Jack and living with the girls.
I couldn't catch a break.
Yeah.
But and apparently in Green Bay here, there are groups that dress up as Mrs. Roper. She used to wear that kind of, I don't know what you call it, a muumuu or.
Muumuu, yeah. I'd go
yeah, muumuu. Muumuu. Okay. But she pulled it off. I went through a phase where I kind of was like, I can see Mrs. Roper. She's kind of sexy.
Yeah, there's Mrs. Roper pub crawls around here too. That's
what it is.
Maybe the first the inaugural Pete Schwabba statewide.
Oof.
Mrs. Roper. You got
pub
a moo-moo?
Crawl?
You got one there?
I could find one.
You got a moo-moo in your closet?
I got a moo-moo guy. I could get set up in no time. So he
sells put me down for two.
Yeah. Put me down for two. I'll sew them together and then I'll be able to fit into it. Yeah, Three's Company, it says, started in 1976, actually, and ran to 1984. How was that on? I mean, look, let's be honest. It was not a great show. It was fine for what it was, but 8 seasons that lasted.
It was all we had, Pete. There was like 3 or 4 channels. It was all we had.
All right.
And if you look again, it still kind of holds up a little bit. It's funny. Jack Tripper, again, he's a, oh, he's yeah. a, a, generational talent.
He is. Absolutely. I totally agree with you there. So he's on his own. Joyce DeWitt is on her own, but they did replace Chrissy. So we can compare Chrissy's, those characters. It was Jenna Lee Harrison, Suzanne Summers, and Priscilla Barnes all played that role. And I think when Jenna Lee Harrison came on, she was...
What was her name? I can never remember what her name on the show was.
Cindy Snow. She played...
Okay, Cindy. It was Cindy.
Yeah, right. She played Chrissy's cousin. And then Priscilla Barnes was Terry Alden. I don't remember how they got her on the show, but she was actually my favorite, I think, of the girls.
I mean... Right, as far as actress and contributing, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Until I got sad at the end when they poured the paint all over her. It bummed me out. I was a kid watching that episode. I was like, damn, they did Terry wrong.
Man, you really do know your Three is Company. That is impressive.
Again, it was on. It was all we had, and it was on every night, sometimes twice a night.
It was all we had.
And like we were talking last night, they included all of the offshoots. So in the syndication run, so like Channel 24 here in Milwaukee, they bought the syndication rights to Three's Company. They included the Ropers. So you got the string of episodes. I think there were six or seven of them where the Ropers went off with Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
And they were next door neighbors and the antics that ensued from that. And then what the Three's a Crowd was.
Three's
the,
a Crowd. Yeah. Where he opened Jack's
where Jack
Bistro.
Had the Bistro. Yeah. Right. Where he got married and that kind of the premise is out the window.
Right. And the guy from Soap was like his father-in-law.
Right.
But the Roper, how do you sell that as a spinoff? Like you got this deadpan, older, aging Norman Fell and his wife, and then Jeffrey Tambor. Talk about a show with no sex appeal whatsoever. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He was the young blood on the show. That's crazy.
His wife was, I guess the eye candy, if you will, if network executives at the time were thinking like that. There was also a kid. There was a precocious kid that was running around with a little bowl haircut that was kind of Stanley's main foil. Those two were always getting into it.
That's right.
Right.
But my favorite is, I think, if we could put a bow on the Three's Company, move to some other 80s sitcoms, if that's okay with you, would be Richard Klein as Larry, who is like the swinging, wearing the shark's tooth around his neck with the shirt open and the chest hair. And always, he would always pop into the apartment at the wrong time. Like right when Jack was acting gay or something like he had to. He's like, hey Jack, the girls are down at the Regal Beagle. And I, whoa.
Now, if somebody needed like his own show, we're talking Larry.
Yeah.
I mean, set Larry up somewhere. I mean, follow his antics.
I never saw him on anything after that, I don't think. Richard Klein.
He did a couple of guest spots on something, but I don't remember what it was off the top of my head.
Probably Love American Style.
Having followed his career.
Yeah. Having been vice president of the fan club, he still fell off the radar.
Right.
So
I'm wondering, since they're doing these Mrs. Roper Moo Moo crawls, I wonder if any bars have turned into the Regal Beagle. Because you think that'd be a gimmick. I love that. Maybe we're too old for that, but...
Or you could do like
an Uber down to the Regal Beagle.
Yeah, you could do the Stanley Roper crawl where he had like the Birkenstocks and the socks on. I think that was kind of his footwear of choice, which was peculiar. So, all right, let's take Seinfeld out of the equation, Stuart, and The Simpsons, which both technically started in the 80s. My guest, by the way, is Stuart Waddles. He covers Southeast Wisconsin at Civic Media and does an incredible job, and he is way too into Three's Company, but that's part of the fun.
We could do the same thing with Different Strokes.
Yeah, Silver Spoons, right? That was
Silver
a spinoff.
Silver Spoons, Cheers, again, the Cosby Show.
Wait, Cheers?
That's a whole other conversation. Yeah, I watched Cheers when I was a kid. I don't know. It was all right after the Cosby Show.
Oh, I thought you meant...
The Family Ties.
No, listen, Thursday Night Lineup, before you found out Bill Cosby was a huge creep, was like a lineup for the
ages. The shows hold up, and that's why I'm torn, and that's probably an interesting conversation to have. Do you go back and watch that knowing what we know now? But so wholesome, so funny.
Yeah.
So well done.
It's hard. Isn't it hard to watch, though? Like, I don't know.
It really is. Look, but, I mean, if you got kids that don't know anything about it, well, they don't know anything about
it. Yeah, that's
true. I need to let them know.
I had Cosby
Rudy's
albums.
Funny.
I had Cosby albums as a kid, and he worked clean.
Yeah,
and when
too.
I went into stand-up, I was like, oh, I'm going to be clean like Bill Cosby. And then Like, talk about getting hung up on the wrong things. Like,
it's like, we'd go on road trips. I'd have the cassette tapes of Noah bringing the, you know, whole bits.
I had the art. The album I had was to my brother Russell, whom I've slept with. Great album. Very funny. Very funny. And that album kind of takes on a different meaning after what happened.
But I don't fall asleep.
Poor Russell. Yeah. I did not mean to go there. So 80s, you got Cheers. I would say let's rank our top three, Stuart. So I would say in the 80s, taking Seinfeld, which to me is maybe the best network sitcom ever, and The Simpsons, I would put right there too, but it's not live action. I would put those two, though, at the top of the list. But taking those two out of the equation, I would go Seinfeld, or I would go Cheers, Family Ties, and maybe Roseanne.
Roseanne was so good.
So great. The writing was so phenomenal. Good. And a great cast, too. What would you do? How would you rank them? You got Night Court, Cosby, Three's a Crowd, Designing Women, great show too. Frasier's not on there.
Good one.
Roseanne, Family Frasier. Ties. Yeah, Frasier's actually the 90s. I got mixed up.
My Two Dads?
What was the one with...
No, I wouldn't put that on my list. I'm naming them off.
The one with Tony Danza. Who's the boss?
No, who's the boss? Angela.
Angela.
Samantha. Mona, Jonathan.
I loved Family Ties, though. I thought that was a really fun show.
Family Ties, I was going to say they're in my top three. It's got to be up there. I just like how that character of Alex B. Keaton just kind of backfired on the writers and took on his own life and shot that guy into superstardom.
Right. But he, you know, he's so, Michael J. Fox was so good.
So good.
All right, I'm talking with
Stuart. The Cosby Show. I think I got to put Cosby on the list. I don't know if that's going to get me canceled or not, but as far as a wholesome show that brought the country together, I mean, the ratings on that thing, it's just unbelievable to go back and look and the share of who was watching television. It was all of America.
Allow it. And I mean, if Cosby's brother will allow it, we'll do it. All right, we'll come back and talk more 80s stuff.
I would like to talk to
We're ranking stuff with Stuart J. Waddles. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a few more minutes here with my good friend and one heck of a reporter, Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles. We are talking 80s TV shows. Tomorrow night on the show, comedian author Rich Scheidner will be here and Jeopardy hero Ben Chan comes into the studio. Conrad, that'll be fun.
Yeah, can't wait to
hear
some more about Jeopardy.
I want to hear some more behind the scenes stuff. Now he can blab because it's done. He can give us all the dirt and I know there's dirt. So
you got any bits planned? Getting bits planned with him?
We kind of, last time we told him Conrad and I would try to be the other two people he played on Jeopardy, and he seemed to get pretty excited about that, but we weren't able to pull it off. So I don't know. Even when I try to do a bit about Jeopardy, I feel stupid. So I don't even know if I can pull that.
Right. It's tough.
It's tough.
You try and do a Burt Reynolds thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, what is.
You're going to mispronounce things or something.
Right. So, all right. So, Stuart, my top 80s, my 80s top five, just as a show of good faith towards you, because I consider you a friend. I hope that's okay. Number one.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Cheers. Number two, Family Ties. Number three, Roseanne. And I added a four because Designing Women, the writing was phenomenal on Designing Women. And number five, I put Cosby. What do you think? Are you okay with that?
Well, that's a good list. I would, where do we stand on the Wonder Years?
Are we
putting that in the comedy section?
Absolutely.
I think it should be. That's a great one.
Let me put that. Was that in the 80s? The Wonder Years. Yeah, 88.
Yeah, I think it debuted after the Super Bowl in whatever year that was.
Good call. Yeah.
So yeah, I'd put the Wonder Years in there. Did you mention the Golden Girls?
I did not.
I didn't appreciate it growing up.
But it's good.
I watched it with my mom all the time, religiously. Like, I know the show very well, but it wasn't until I got older, like, What was my mom letting me watch? What in the world's going on here? Yeah, great show. I'd put Golden Girls on that list.
And that would be like you probably watched it to spend time with your mom and then secretly ended up liking the show. And you're like, okay, Mom, I guess we can watch The Golden Girls.
I think it speaks to the quality of entertainers that they all were in the writing of that show. That it just it you can grab a 9-year-old and make them laugh, not really knowing what's going on, but just based on what's being presented. And that can go a long way. Great writing on that show. Maybe I'd throw Full House at that. Not one of my favorites of it. I think it's kind of a landmark show that kind of changed a little bit of that comedy and how it was taken in. It was more directed towards families.
Yeah, totally. Boy, those are two great ones I didn't think of. Yeah. Hey, what are you watching? Let's fast forward to the future. What are you watching now, Stuart? You got any recommendations you can make?
I got three young kids. I'm not watching a lot of anything new at all. I watched the basketball tournament with the kids. Had to keep that on as much as I could, trying to let them know about cultural landmarks and touchstones. So got that going on, but there's not a lot to watch. Like I'm talking, like I said before, Three's Company, I'll put that on to stream. They put old Johnny Carson episodes on. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
If I can record and ask This Old House, maybe I can get one of those in.
Wow. Good call. What about 90s sitcoms?
America's Test Kitchen, a fine program.
What's it called?
America's Test Kitchen. It's on PBS.
Okay.
They try out recipes and they tell you what kind of mixers are the best. And it's an interesting show.
What do you do to decompress? You cover news. Some of it's depressing. Southeast Wisconsin is not without crime and stuff like that. How do you unwind when you're done with your work day? You're a hardworking reporter. You've seen some stuff. What do you do when you punch out?
I got one of them that's just getting out of diapers. So that's a lot of the times, but she's doing really good. Like she's done really good at transitioning from the diaper to the little girl Charlotte. And then one is, oh geez, 7 or 8. The other one's 5 or 6, somewhere in there. I know I'm just joking around, but I got 3 really young ones.
Yeah.
So they pick up pretty much all the time.
Okay. That's
it. And when they go to bed, I usually go to bed.
Wow. No kidding. And then you try to, squeeze in some Three's Company.
When I can, when I can, I watch The Wrestling too, every once in a while.
Ooh,
again, because like you're saying, it's so deep with the news that it takes something supremely absurd to kind of take you away from all that.
Absolutely. Did you see the event? Civic Media's own Rich Locascio was at the Pfizer Forum last weekend for the big WrestleMania. Conrad, was it WrestleMania?
I saw him post a picture of the WrestleMania sign.
It was SmackDown.
It's on the road to WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're SmackDown.
On the road to WrestleMania.
Okay. That's fair.
That's when the WrestleMania sign's hanging there, and then you're supposed to point at it and say, WrestleMania sign, I'm going there.
All I'm hearing
is something of myself.
there was a lot of oily dudes flying around.
Big meaty men. That's right.
All right. Well, hey, man, thank you so much.
As far as greaser and socias, a little of both.
Little of both?
I hung out with the Sportos, the Motorheads, the Geeks, Sluts, Boots, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies.
Just you're a regular Ferris Bueller.
That's right.
So, hey, tomorrow night, I'm going to get you ahead of the game on this one. Our question tomorrow, because I wanted to talk about this tonight. I got this thing about how Facebook might be changing, and I get friend requests from people. It's like you make a friend request. I accept it. I obviously know you're there. You know I'm here. We're here. Then someone will send a poke. And I don't know what to do with that because
people are still poking each other.
The people still poke each other or they wave. And the poke is the most.
I thought that went out with the Lombada. I didn't know that was still happening.
You can poke.
People poking each other.
You can poke. You can wave. And I find it, I wouldn't poke anyone in real life. And I don't know what the point of it is on Facebook, and I don't know how to respond.
It's passive aggressive.
You think so?
I mean, if you want to say something, say something.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, what are you doing poking me?
You poke me, I'm going
to
give
just
you a talking
back,
to.
Just poke them back, I guess. If somebody were to come up to you on the street and poke, what are you going to do? Poke you back, you know?
You poke them back, and it's like, well, where does it end? Then they poke you back, and then it's like, okay. Defriend.
It could just be an immediate block.
Right.
You're poking me? All right, I'm blocking you. You're gone. You don't get in the Schwabba kingdom.
All right. You've given me some stuff to ponder for tomorrow night. I appreciate that. Buddy, this was really fun. Thanks so much. And get back to those kids,
Lots
man.
Lots of fun, Pete. Thanks.
All right. You got it, Stuart. Yep. That's Stuart J. Waddell, Civic Media. He covers Southeast Wisconsin and does such a great job and is such a good guy. So, and a very busy dad, obviously. So I would like to thank all my guests tonight. Rob Thomas, as always, is so much fun. Stuart J. Waddell's such a good time whenever he's on the show. You know, Conrad, Stewart, I would say with one more visit is a Nightlight bestie.
Yeah.
It's three, right?
Yeah, it's three.
Okay. And I don't know where we go. Like 10 is the next milestone.
Terry's already reached that.
Terry's already. I was just about to say, if you've 10 visits, you're like a Nightlight lover, but that sounds creepy. And I want to.
Nightlight legend.
Nightlight legend. That's better. You've got such a young, innocent mind. Okay. Thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you to Stuart J. Waddles. And thanks for all your texts. And so much fun when you guys are part of the show. So we'll be back tomorrow night. Like I said, comedian author Rich Scheidner will be here. Rich is great. He's been on The Tonight Show, David Letterman several times. And Ben Chan from Jeopardy, he's going to be here tomorrow night. We will be back to Nightlight more tomorrow night. I'm Pete Schwab. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.